Gonzalez Granite when he was at Colorado, when I was at Iowa State. We've played against him before, and this isn't a true Princeton offense, but you know, a lot of their characteristics are the same. Their spacing's great, their cutting's elite, their ball security's really good, and they spread you out, space you out with their ability to shoot the basketball. So those things are in common. What they're doing's a little bit different than true Princeton, but a very efficient offensive team.
We are back to close out the show. Hail Varsity Club is where we are and where you should be to watch all things sports, especially when tournament basketball continues later this week and into the weekend. Coffee and Cream in the morning on Hail Varsity Radio. Happy to have you. 590 ESPN Omaha. We are on KFOR in Lincoln from the 9 to 10 hour, live on Twitter, live on YouTube. He's Damon Betting. I'm Andrew Rogers, and we are now being joined by Kyle Boone, CBS Sports writer, and we are talking college basketball. I almost said college basketball because we're talking to Kyle. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning. Happy to talk some college
basketball. Yeah, thank you. Way to play.
Some college hoops. I like that.
Hey, you know, we had this question earlier on in the show, and I hate having you decide right away on, you know, what team's going to make it to the Final Four. It's crazy because when you look, if we're just looking at the bracket, you look in the top left, and it seems like it's got to be Creighton and Bama that go to the Elite Eight. When you look at the top right, you're like, I don't know. You're like, Houston's playing well, but so is Miami. And then you have one of the best matchups in Texas and Xavier. And then you go to the bottom right. It's kind of the same thing. But then you go to the left, and you're like, Michigan State and K-State, okay. Like, you know, Tom Izzo, great. K-State, yeah, good basketball team this year, Big 12. And then you're like, Tennessee and FAU? Like, kind of weird. As you kind of look about the Sweet 16, what has been your biggest surprise, whether it's region or whether it's team?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's probably the biggest surprise has got to be, I think, probably in the top left. Creighton-Princeton in a Sweet 16 matchup was definitely not expected. Number 3 seed Baylor going out before the Sweet 16. This was a team that I thought could make a real run, but their defense was not as good as expected. The number one offense in college basketball, I think it made them pretty lethal. But going out before the Sweet 16, Creighton's a really good team. And they're getting a 15-seeded Princeton team. This is the first time the Ivy League has been represented in the Sweet 16 since Cornell in 2010. The fourth 15-seed to ever advance to the Sweet 16. So that's a big shocker. There's also some shockers elsewhere. You look at FAU, Tennessee. Nine seeds and eight seeds rarely make it to the Sweet 16 because, of course, they win their first-round matchup. They get a chance to face the number one seed in that region. But Purdue, the number one seed in that region, lost in round one, so they had a chance to face 16-seed Fairleigh Dickinson in the second round and were able to advance. So now they get FAU Tennessee in that region. That's just like a few of the surprises, though. I mean, Michigan State advancing past the 2-seed Marquette down in the bottom left of your bracket is another surprise. I mean, there's surprises littered throughout the bracket here. If you picked your bracket to be fairly chalky, you're probably not sitting well in your bracket pool because, yeah, March Madness is, as expected, has been truly mad. I still think the favorites have mostly held up. If you picked, you know, Houston, who was the betting favorite coming in, or Alabama, who was second on the board, they're looking good right now. I think they're the current betting favorite. But, for the most part, like, the bracket has broken in many ways as people just totally did not expect.
Kyle, I was a little upset to see the draw just because I knew I was bucking the trend with Gonzaga defensively, especially their efficiency. And I liked UCLA. Those were the two teams that I said I would take 1-2. And this was a month. This is probably about 5 weeks ago. But then I kind of doubled down a little bit, and I said, hey, in our six-pack of questions, let me give you two choices. Let me give you UConn and Texas. This is to go further as a pair. UConn and Texas and UCLA and Creighton. Now they're both in the suite. Now they're all players. So given what you know now, do you feel better about taking aside the tandem of UConn and Texas or Creighton and UCLA?
Yeah, I would take UConn or Creighton. UConn out of the West region, I think, is my pick to go to the Final Four. And people may think, okay, that feels a little spicy, right? They're the number four seed in the West region. Yeah, the number one seed is down, but two seed UCLA is still alive. Three seed Gonzaga is still alive. Well, one of those is going to cannibalize itself, Gonzaga, UCLA. UConn would face the winner of that matchup. And I like whichever matchup they would get. If it's UCLA, they get a UCLA team that has been really good in the NCAA tournament, but they just lost their best defender, Jalen Clark, to an Achilles injury just before the NCAA tournament. Adam Bona, who's kind of their star big man, is playing through an obvious shoulder injury. Not entirely sure they have kind of the depth that is required to make a deep run. If they get Gonzaga in that next matchup, then you have to face Drew Timmy, who I think is one of the most capable big men in college basketball. But UConn has a 7-footer, Adama Sanogo. He's been fantastic. I think one of the best five players in the NCAA tournament. The last two times UConn has been to the Sweet 16, they've won the whole dang thing. They've won the national championship. So this is a spot they're very familiar with. Obviously, this is a new coaching staff. It's a new roster. It's been a while since UConn has been in this spot. But the bracket has busted open in a way where I think UConn can – I would take the UConn side. I'm not entirely sure I would pick Texas to come out of the Midwest just because of Houston. But if they do, it wouldn't be totally surprising. Houston is dealing with some injuries. The number one seed, obviously, in the Midwest region, Marcus Sasser's been dealing with a groin injury. He's their leading scorer. And then Jamal Shedd is playing through what Kelvin Sampson, the Houston coach there, described as a knee injury. So they don't seem to be quite at 100%. I think I would take the Texas UConn side if I had to pick one there.
Andrew and I have been debating since the tournament started, depth overrated or underrated? We talked to a couple beat writers, and they have their opinions. So let me change the context of the question a little bit. Creighton, who has five starters that play 30 minutes or more,
yeah.
Texas and UConn and San Diego State, who I believe is going to be a thorn, all have depth. San Diego State has nine guys, played in 33 games or more, all have play 16 minutes or more. We know about UConn or Texas's depth. So to the good or to the bad of it being overrated, which of those four teams will the word depth matter the most?
Yeah, I think it's, it's hard to say if it's overrated or underrated. Some of these teams are so different stylistically that it's important for some teams and it's not important for others. You look at Alabama, for instance, and like most of their production comes from, two or three or four guys on any given night. It's mostly Brandon Miller. They're getting contributions from Javon Quinterly on offense. That is, defensively, there's a lot of guys. I mean, this is like one of the best remaining defensive teams in the NCAA tournament. So the depth on that team defensively, I think, is really important. Go to Texas, the depth on that team offensively is very important, where they don't really have a guy they go to on any given night. Timmy Allen can be fantastic and lead the way. Marcus Carr can be really, really good for them.
All of a sudden, Dessou is back playing.
Yeah, Dessou, I think, has been one of the best five players in this NCAA tournament so far. Like, he's been fantastic on both ends of the floor, so... it's tough. I think generally depth is overrated. When you have star players who can kind of will your team to a win, that's the most important thing. I always feel like I would prioritize star players and really like game-changing guards over the fact that you can play 9 or 10 guys in a game. But as you go through the NCAA tournament, I think depth is really important too. And the contenders in this year, I think, mostly have a really good blend of both. Houston is really good at the top of their roster, but they're a team that I think can go 7 or 8, 9, 9 players deep. Tremont Mark had a career high in the NCAA tournament second round after, you know, the two stars, Jamal Shedd and Marcus Sasser, were injured. So a lot of these teams obviously showing themselves plenty capable of making deep NCAA tournament runs.
Kyle Boone, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much. Hopefully we can talk again soon.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, Kyle Boone.
CBS Sports writer at Kyle_Boone on Twitter. Don't forget that second underscore if you want to follow Kyle. Before we go today, I want to take a moment and tell you about Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and their mission to support one-on-one mentoring relationships that ignite the power and promise of youth. Listen to me here when I say research has shown that positive relationships between littles and their bigs have a direct and measurable impact on children's lives. By partnering with parents and guardians, volunteers, and other community, little brothers and little sisters are more likely to maintain or improve their emotions, decrease risky behaviors, improve their confidence in school, and maintain or improve their grades. If you want to be a big, go to mentoromaha.org to sign up today. If you missed anything on the show, head back to Apple and Spotify or your favorite podcast platform. You can find Coffee and Cream there by searching Hail Varsity Radio. He's Damon Benning at Damon Benning on Twitter. I'm at Andrew Rogers TV. Thanks for joining us as always. And GBR as Pro Day takes place.
GBR.
What, right now?
Yeah, we're rolling.
We are rolling. We will see you tomorrow.